Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And yes, I'm still alive. For those of you that are longtime listeners, you know I have what's called health issues. Some people say I'm made of glass. My wife and my producer over there, who just pointed himself, this is true. He does believe that I'm made of glass. There might be something to that. I just hope someday that I can be made of plexiglass because it'd be a lot stronger. Because as of right now, I feel like I've been made of glass that, you know, the glass you have to break to get like to the fire extinguisher. That's like you blow on it, it breaks. I'm made of that glass. Anyways, long story short, I had COVID, didn't know what was going on. Took about 5 weeks to get over it. And I seem to be back to health now. So we're back with new episodes. And starting with today's episode, it's going to be a back to school episode. What I did was I went through some of the past episodes, my past conversations I've had with parents, and recent conversations I have with parents right now when they're asking me, hey, what are some of the things that I need to do to prepare my kid to have a successful back to school launch? Other times, parents aren't asking me for that advice. I'm giving it to them because some people have what's called summeritis. What summeritis is, right when the school ends, they forget all the things during the school year that they were worried about because they didn't have to worry at the moment. See, we're on vacations, when you're at home, when you're chilling, when kids are sleeping in, there's less arguing, there's less fighting, there's less trying to get them to do things they don't want to do. So therefore, things usually go a little bit smoother during the summertime. So for some of my parents, they just magically think, just like their kids, they magically think that they're just going to go back to a normal school routine and they're not going to get frustrated with their kids are going to go back and do all the things they want them to do just because they asked them to do it. So I'm the one to give the reminder that it doesn't work like that in anything in life, and it definitely doesn't work like that with your kids. And if any of you parents out there have ever thought, this isn't fair, I pay for everything, I buy everything, I do everything they want me to do for them, and all I ask is a little bit of respect in return, well, let me tell you, you're right, it's not fair. In fact, the definition of fair, well, the word fair, I don't think is anywhere in the definition of parenting. Like, I don't think you look up, what's it like to be a parent, or today's parenting goals and rules and expectations, and what to expect when you're a parent. I don't think you'll hear the word or at least see the phrase fairness, fair, it's going to be equal. Those things do not exist in a parent-child relationship. So what I did was I put together the top things that you should do. Now, granted, there's a lot more than this, but these are the ones that have been successful and more pertinent, but also not too complex and too challenging. So in order to have a successful back-to-school launch, or at least less chaotic than it was in previous years, start with these. Now, I'm giving you them in order of 1 through 6, but just pay attention to the ones that you feel are more relevant to you and your situation, and copy and paste those, put them in your memory bank, and start working on these ASAP Rocky or right away. Number one, bedtime staggering. So bedtime staggering is, it's starting, ideally you want to start 2 weeks out. I know for me and my wife, we've yet to start 2 weeks out. And most people, they try to start the night before. That doesn't work. But with bedtime staggering is, you want to start getting your kids to bed a little bit earlier each night and waking them up a little bit earlier in the morning. Now, an effective way to do that is if your kids are into sports. So if your kids are in sports and they have football practices, specifically sports that are training during the summertime, that's usually going to kind of help out a little bit because they're already starting waking up early for those sports. But if your kids don't have a sport going on right now, or if they're just out of, it's just they're not into sports whatsoever, then what you want to do is you want to start getting them to bed a little bit earlier, preferably starting 2 weeks out every single night. Like, let's say during the summertime, it's been midnight for you and your kids every single night. What that means is, for 2 weeks out, you want to start telling your kids, hey, listen, we got to get your teeth brushed, everything you got to get done before you get to bed. We got to get that done at 11:15, and we got to get to bed at 11:30. That may not seem to a lot of parents out there that, well, that's not going to help out that much, 30 minutes. It is going to help out a lot in that 30 minutes, because what you're going to do is what's divisible by 2 weeks, meaning like, so that's 14 days, right? So if you really start this at 14 days, you're going to want to break it down. So the first, like going from 12 to 11:30, you want to do that for like 3 days. And then you want to go to 11 o'clock for 4 days. Now in just 1 week's time, you got from 12 to midnight. Okay. Now for that second week, you want to do the same thing and end at 10. That's assuming that a normal bedtime for you and your kids was 10 o'clock on a school night. If you've got older teenagers, that's not unrealistic. So whatever it is, you want to give yourself 2 weeks to get 2 hours back. Then in the morning time, this may be so hard for some of you parents, especially if you're out working and you're not there to wake your kids up. You don't want to get them up earlier in those next 2 weeks as well. Something that helps a lot for this is finding incentives. So an incentive that your kid will want to get up early for, something that benefits them, not something that you just want them to do. Like I said, if it's a sports thing, great. If you don't have sports, figure out something that is motivating to them. A couple parents have gotten a little creative, and I've suggested this to a few parents. Some parents are really strict about the kids playing video games. Well, I tell them, okay, well, if you don't want your kids playing video games, that's great. However, they're going to be begging you all day long to play video games, right? Well, to help get them up in the morning, you might want to tell them, hey, listen, if I can look at the home camera or if it can call you, you can FaceTime me and I can see that you're out of bed, you ate breakfast, you've done whatever you want them to do at the beginning of the day by a certain time, then you'll let them play video games. Most of you may not want your kids to be playing video games in the morning. I get it. But we're talking about reverse psychology, healthy manipulation. Do whatever it is to take or do whatever it takes to get your kids to get to bed earlier and to wake up earlier because sleep is that important. If you don't believe me, well, then you haven't been listening to any podcasts or reels in the past 10, 15 years because everybody's talking about the importance of sleep, blah, blah, blah. I got to get to sleep. Well, I don't think you have to be a scientist to know how you feel if you don't get a good night of sleep. And if you're waking up early, you don't have your wits about you. It's going to be a long morning before your brain actually comes back online. So that's the first one for you parents out there is staggering sleep time. Second one, agree on how much money on clothes and back to school items you're going to spend. So some parents say, hey, I'll get you one backpack. Some parents say, I'll get you two pairs of pants, two shirts, whatever it may be. Some parents are just more like, you got $300, go for it. Other parents like to go with their kids, like to be part of the shopping experience. And in the shopping experience, they don't necessarily set an amount of money. They just kind of want to be a part of their kids just shopping and buying the clothes, and they want to have influence over that. If that's the type of parent you are, you don't really go there with the budget in mind. You're just like, well, I'm just going to get things within reason. That sounds cool. That sounds great. However, you're missing out on a couple life lesson skills, and you're also missing out on some things that you need to start doing as they get older, which means you got to start taking over, or you got to start not taking over. You got to give up the responsibility to them. I always suggest parents pick a dollar amount and then give that dollar amount, not give it actually to the kids, depends on their age. You may say, all right, well, you got $200 for your back to school clothing this year. Now, once you get there, they may find things that like, oh my gosh, I want this, that, this, that. Okay, great. How much does that all add up to? I don't know. Well, see the lady or the guy over there? They've got a cash register. They've got this, they've got that. Why don't you go ask them to ring it up to see how much the total costs? Let's say the total costs $350. And then you look at them and say, okay, so $350. Remind me again what your amount of money you were for back to school shopping. $200, but I don't know what to do. Like I can't make a decision. I want this, I want that. This is where they got to figure it out on their own. So not only do you want to give them an amount of money, like let's say $200, but you also want to give them a time frame. Tell them, say, listen, if you can't decide today, that's fine. But we're going to be leaving at 7. I don't know if I'll be able to bring you back to the mall. Or you have today until Friday to pick out the clothes that you want and for us to purchase the clothes. Timeline is just as important as the amount of money you offer them. So many great parents out there can say, hey, listen, you know, money's not that big of a deal. My kids are good kids. No, I don't mind spoiling them a little bit. You know, they don't give me any flack or any problems. This one's not for me. It's especially for you. Because just because your kids are easy doesn't mean that you want to make everything easier for them because they're easy. I heard something not too long ago, and I really like this. It's a comment about parenting. It said a lot of parents went out of their way in today's generation to give their kids what they never had, when in reality, they should be giving their kids what they were never taught instead of things that they didn't have. So share information, share knowledge with your kids. And this is knowledge I'm giving you to share with them. So when they complain about it's, now I don't have enough money to buy it, or I can't make a decision, that's fine. Well, you only have this amount of time to make a decision, or you made your decision, because that's how life works. If you stall and you can't make a decision, The decision gets made for you. And it's usually not the one you chose. It's usually the one you froze. You froze into the decision. So that's number two, you guys. Number three, communication with teachers on first day to start building the relationship with their teacher. So this is two part. Encourage your kids. I don't care how old they are. Some parents will have their kids bring something nice to teachers for the first day. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Bring a teacher, you know, a nice drink or, you know, a healthy candy bar, or whatever it may be. It's just the gesture, right? So if you want to do that, if you got younger kids, have your kids do that. But you should also be coaching your kids to start building a relationship with their teacher. Too often we're focused on, hey, making sure everything is ready for your kids to go to school to look just right. So you can take the picture on Instagram, put the sign in front of them, say what grade they're in, and all those things. And I'm not mocking or making fun of those things, but sometimes those are the greatest things that people or the things that people are most focused on. Great, do that. However, for the longevity of your kid's school year, if they're in elementary, junior high, or in high school, it doesn't matter. For the longevity of it, I'm pretty sure that the relationship with their teacher is going to be a lot more important than a lot of those other things. It's going to have a longer shelf life than just taking a picture and making sure their outfit's just right. So what I suggest you guys do is coach your kids when they go to see their teacher, say hi to them, introduce themselves, ask questions, you know, tell the teacher like, hey, you know, I'm excited to be in your class. Like, you know, where are you from? It's like, what do you like to do for fun? Here's what I like to do. Have your kids exercise sociability back and forth with the teachers and build that relationship with them. So important. You want your kids to be one of the names that the teachers memorize first and not because they're always in trouble. Because that's who the teacher's going to memorize. I'm a teacher. I'm going to memorize the kids' names first that are really cool, go out of their way, they participate, they show interest in me, start talking to me about the class. And then I'm also going to have the kids' names memorized pretty quickly, the ones that are not paying attention. They're always on their phone. They're causing problems. So you want your kid to be remembered for being the person that the teacher says, hey, this kid's easy. They're, you know, this kid's talkative. This kid's, are, even if they're shy, the kid comes up and says hi to me every day. That's how you want your kid to be remembered. Number four, start parent-teen expectations with phone and screen time. What that means is I'm assuming most parents out there have laxed on their phone and screen time with their kids, laxed on video game time. You've gotten relaxed on a lot of things. Well, instead of coming in and like acting like you're the new sheriff in town, say, okay, guys, enjoy the last week of social media on all day long. Enjoy the video games because it's about to end. It's about to come to an end. We're shutting this all down and just go on a rant. To just take something away that, you know, you probably were laxed on and didn't follow through with a lot this summer. And to demand it because you see it as a problem. You see that's frustrating. You see that, oh my gosh, you're losing your kids to their devices. So you want control back. You want the power back. And so you come in with the heavy hiss. Hissed? Fist. That's what I mean. Heavy fist. For those of you parents who have a tendency doing that or, you know, or fearful you might do that, I want you guys to just think about something for a moment. I want you guys to recollect and recount things that I've talked about on this podcast before. The definition of influence or the definition of power, to have power over a person or a situation, is really the ability to influence that person or that situation. You're going to have far greater influence over your kids if you come to them and say, listen, I know we got lackadaisical school on, you know, the screen time, stuff like that. Actually, that was me. That was my bad. I didn't monitor that. I didn't do that. And that's my fault. And I'm just giving you guys a heads up over the next couple of weeks before school starts. We're going to slowly be backing down. I'm going to be tightening up things a little bit. And then when school starts, we're going to go back to, you know, a little bit more stricture, a little bit more strict expectations of what that's going to be like. So this next week, we're going to be, you know, slowing it down a little bit. And the second week before school starts, slowing down a little bit more. And then the week school starts, I'm going to tell you guys what your expectations are, what the phone limits are. Now, for your older kids, the ones that haven't given you a hard time, especially the ones that have just gotten a year older, I don't want you to start off with the same expectation of phone time and screen time that you did last year. It should be improved. If you don't improve it, meaning if you don't add more freedom to that, then there'll be lots of debates and arguments. Some parents will tell me, well, they didn't earn it. Well, you may not have clearly described to them what is earning it and what is not earning it. Most parents do not do a good job of giving a job description to their kids for what they're supposed to do and are consistent about it. So instead of getting into a discussion or a debate or argument with your kids about if it's fair, if it's not fair, give it to them up front, meaning give them more freedom on the screen time and phone times than they had last year to end the year or to start the year, whichever. But do let them know that it will go back to being more strict or less screen time, less freedom, if after the first 2 weeks, they don't monitor, if they don't follow the agreement or the screen time, whatever it may be. I like to go week to week. So if school starts on, you know, a Monday or a Tuesday, don't count the first week because it's not even a full week anyways. Go to the second week and get to that Friday. Once you get to that Friday, that's when you want to be able to tell your kids, hey, listen, I've looked at your screen time for this past week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever. It's not doing good. You went over these times. I'll give you one more week, the third week, to turn it around. If not, then we're going to have to put blockers on your phone. We're going to have to start monitoring your phone more, and you don't want that. So that's a great way to approach that with them, is approaching it with them, not with the heavy hand, not with a, I'm going to use my power and wield my power over you. Remember that influence is really how you get power over someone. How you get power, how you get that influence over someone is you first have to acknowledge to them what they're probably thinking, their complaints, their worries, their concerns. Just like if you've been a hypocrite, if you've been too lackadaisical on the phone and screen times, well, just acknowledge that up front and then start talking about what you want to do after that. All right, next one. Number five, make deals to start off the school year if you're on time to every class the first week. A parent gave me this idea. And this was like 3 years ago. She was really concerned that her daughter had done a good job over the summer, but she was really concerned that her daughter was going to drop the ball as soon as school starts and she's back around with her friends. In fact, she'd say her daughter usually doesn't go to this first couple of days of school, or if she does, she's kind of bounced around classes. It's like the social week for her in the very first week. But the mom felt that that started off the school year in a bad habit. And I agreed with her. It does start the school year from a bad habit. I used to make that same mistake in school. I used to show up, oh, I need to show up on the first day. I used to show up on the second day of college. And the first week, I was like, oh, I'll just talk to my friends. Well, by the time the second week started, not only was I behind, not only did I start bad habits, but I was already stressed way before the first test even happened, because I was already, you know, trying to play catch up. So in my experience and working with different types of families, you might want to start out with a better offense instead of waiting to have to use your defense. So the offense could be making deals with your kids. If you go to every single class this week, if you, you know, are no unexcused absences, if you don't have more than like two tardies the whole entire first week, then I will give you something that you want. I will make it worth your while. And if they say, well, what's a big deal? It's just the first week. Say, it means so much to start off on the right habit and on the right foot this first week that I'm willing to give you something if you're able to do that. Number six, last but not least, just want to let you guys know, the best way to stress your kids out about going back to school, or to add stress to your kids, to make it a fearful thing for them, or just if they're already worried and stressed, to just make it 10 times worse, is for you to openly share your worry and your stress with them. Now, I've had this debate with many parents that have told me, well, I am stressed. I'm worried about my kids screwing up their grades. I'm worried about all these things happening. I said, okay, fair. But are your kids worried about that? Most of the time, the answer is no. And so the parents will tell me, well, I feel like if I tell them how serious this is, especially if you're like ninth grade, your grades count, or if you make up other different reasons why they should be stressed and they should be worried about it. I get it. A lot of parents want to do that. And at the exact same time, I can tell you, your kids' stresses and worries are more social than they are academic. They're more concerned and worried about how they're going to feel when they walk through the halls, especially if they're going from elementary school to middle school or middle school to high school. If they're starting a new year to school, like a new grade level, and like they're the rookie now, or if they're going to a new school, it's going to be stressful for them. So since your kids are already going to be stressed, you sharing all your stresses with them about them starting school is not helping them. In fact, I want you to do the opposite. When your kids tell you, hey, I'm stressed, I'm worried, you know, I don't really know any kids, I don't have any kids in my classes, I'd rather just look at them and go, wow, like, tell me about that. And they'll start telling you about it. When they get done with it, even if you're stressed and worried, remember that your face is like a mirror to them. Whatever your face shows them after they have shared their worries and their stresses with you is what they're more likely going to believe. So if they're telling you they're stressed, they're worried because they have no friends in this one class and this one girl that they don't like and they used to be friends with us in another class and they're having lots of anxiety, they're having lots of worry, and you start sitting there looking at them, your eyes get all big, like, oh, I mean, okay, like, all right, well, maybe we could call the school, maybe we could switch things around. What you don't even know you did, you just validated all their stress and worries to be true. Now, you don't want to dismiss it. You don't want to be like, oh, come on, just quit worrying about it. You're not even going to see those kids that much after high school. It doesn't even matter. That's in the opposite. That's not helpful either. That's going to cause them lots of stress because they're going to think, gosh, my parent doesn't realize how this is a real thing. I'm not making this up. Like, this is really a thing. Like, everybody's stressed and worried about their first day of school. Instead, what I want you guys to do, listen. Tell them to elaborate, tell them to talk about their stress and worries. And then when they're done with it, say, gosh, you know, like, I wish I could just sit here and tell you some like answer, make all your stress and worries go away, but I can't. So instead, I'm just going to tell you what I've seen. And then bear testimony, like in the court of law, like your hand on the Bible, you'd be like, Your Honor, except you're saying Your Honor, you're bearing testimony to them. You're saying, I don't know how the school year is going to go. But I do know that last year when you had this difficult situation, you handled this very well. I do know that when you've been in tough situations and then bring up experiences, you're able to do X, Y, or Z. Now, if you got to get really creative because your kids have not done a lot of great things, well, that's on you, parents. It's your job to blow a little bit of healthy smoke into the conversation. Let them look at you with a face that's bearing testimony that they're capable of having a better year. They're capable of overcoming their social anxieties. They're capable of passing the classes despite how hard the classes are. They're capable of making new friends even though they're new to the school. You have to bear testimony to them with your facial expressions, your body language, and then when your words say the same thing, it's going to be confident. They're not going to believe what you say 100% because they know you're just speculating. But they are going to like the fact that you doubled down and you're betting on them. I always tell kids all the time, say, listen, I don't know how this year's going to go, but I know that you're going to be able to handle it. And they'll say, well, how do you know I can handle it? Pretty simple. You come in here, you talk to me about the most difficult, hardest things in your life. You show improvements in all these other areas. You're getting older, not younger. Like people my age, I'm worried about not making changes because sometimes we have a hard time making change when you get older. But at your age, oh, you got this. I bet all my money that you could make more changes next week than I could make in the next year. I mean, go hard. I mean, really double down on that confidence builder. Boom, boom, boom. That's why I'm saying it's like bearing testimony in court of law. You're letting them know, I can't prove to you that you're going to be successful, but I can tell you that I believe that you got what it takes to be successful. All right, you guys, those are the 6 tips for this year's back to school. I know that it's going to be helpful to any of you that use those. Share those with your friends. If you got some friends that are in those categories where they might need this information, share with them. And as always, you can follow us on OG Therapy on all platforms, even on TikTok. We got a little podcast, OG Therapy podcast there. We've not been that active on those yet, but that's about to change real soon. YouTube, Patreon, if you want to go to Patreon, www.patreon.com/OG Therapy, and you can get all these episodes, full video content. If you're like me, you like to watch the videos versions of it, please go to Patreon. It's just $5 a month. And then on Instagram, you can follow me at David_KOZLOWSKI. And also on Instagram, you can follow us on OG.therapy. And until next time, you guys remember, if your kids are stressing you out because they're going back to school, if you're worried about their outfits, if you're worried about they're going to make friends, you're worried about all those things, you're down on your knees saying, please, 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 just remember to get a little extra help. Just go to your podcast app, press play, and listen to OG Therapy Podcast. Until next time, be cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.